Podcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Jude. We're looking at being a contender. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You remember when Jesus was on the scene, right? He came up to that demoniac of Gadara, and that demoniac ran up and says, "Oh, have you come to torment us before it's time?" They know there's a time, but they're trying to stay as close to the edge as they can now. Those demons went over the line, and they were put in chains of darkness. He says, there's some examples of the contending that we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with sometimes the assembly, like Joshua and Caleb did. We're going to sometimes deal with the angels. The Bible says we wrestle with principalities and powers. And the Bible says not only that, but there is the cities, verse 7. Verse 7 says it this way. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities. And it says, even as, which shows us what their sin was of the angels. Because it says, even as, the cities, about them, in like manner to the angels, gave themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. See what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Went after strange flesh. Angels went after the daughters of men. And this is nothing new. He says, you knew this. I just want you to remember, you knew this. But he says this. He says, these are guys that are set forth, verse 7, for an example. Set forth for an example. How powerful is that? God doesn't misuse any of His movements, any of His miracles, any of His judgments. He wanted people to know vividly, because this is as vivid as it gets. What rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone. We know this. Why did that happen? What was that all about? Fire and brimstone. That was because God was saying there's an example that I want you to know. You can't see it yet, but there's something on the other side. You remember Phil Collins? There's a fire that's burning right outside my door. I don't see, but I feel it, and it helps to keep me warm. But I don't mind. Remember that old song by Phil Collins? I don't mind. On the front of his album, like the glow of a fire was up in his face, and he's sweating. I know they're there, but I don't mind. You see, this is the pushing of the line the lost do, but the believers sometimes need to be careful, because we can tend to get caught up in the spirit of what's going on, right? I know a guy who went to a church, and he thought it was a good church, had a good name, looked like it was a good bet. When he got in there, they began to honor all kinds of weird stuff in that church, even though it had a good name. He says, I couldn't believe it. But at first, he's like, this is great. Look, good crowd, good day. It's going to be good. We're looking forward to it. Next thing. What got him there? The spirit of whatever they had out the front door. But when he got in, he realized it wasn't that. Do you realize you're in a mess down here right now? You know that, right? It's crazy, man. You're like, oh, let's just celebrate this. Let's celebrate that. No, let's don't celebrate that. Let's what? The Bible says, sigh and cry. Remember that? When Ezekiel was told that the inkhorn angel was to go and seal in the foreheads those that were sighing and crying in Jerusalem, he said, when he gets back, we're going to wipe everybody out. But you seal on the forehead those who sigh and cry. We need to remember who we are, where we are, why we're here. So we see the angels, we see the cities. But look what it says. It says further in verse 8, it says, likewise, these filthy dreamers, and I'm not going to go into all of their things, but the thing I want you to pick up in verse 8 is, they speak evil of dignities. Every one of these guys had something to say about dignities. The angels had something to say about God. Yeah, I don't believe him. I'm going after the strange flesh. The Sodomites went after the strange flesh of the angels who were right there inside the city. They didn't know they were angels. Send out those men that we may know them. And even when they were smitten with blindness, they groped all night trying to find that door. They were not to be discouraged. They were going to get them. And they were going to abuse them. And even those in the Old Testament in the wilderness murmured, and they spoke evil against God. So they speak evil of dignities, and this is where he gives an illustration of a contender. Verse 9, he says, yet Michael the archangel, contender for the good. He says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, see it, circle the word contending, he told you to contend, now he's saying, here's what he did, contending. It says, contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses. But he durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but simply said, the Lord rebuke thee. See, that is part of our contending. We don't take it into our own hands. We let Jesus be Jesus, let God be God, and we begin to take our position with Him. Now you say, but that's weird. I don't know. I'm not supposed to answer fire with fire. We are a unique generation being Americans as we are. You may have heard about the two prisoners who escaped last week. Did you hear about that? Two prisoners escaped. They killed a couple guards, took their guns, and ran into the woods. I don't know if you heard the end of that story, but they were both apprehended. They came out of the midst of the woods in some little neighborhood down in Kentucky. And they were getting ready to jack this car. And one of the guys in the house sees him out there messing with his car. He grabs his gun. He walks out. He trains that gun on them. And as he trains that gun on them, he says, "Don't move a muscle." And then he shouted for Jeb. I don't know if he was Jeb, but it sounds good. "Get your gun, Jeb." Jeb came over and got a gun too. He put a gun on the other side of him. And then they called the police and sent him back to North Carolina, I think it was. My point is this. We live in a unique generation. We know that it's okay to right to bear arms and all that. God's given the government, but when the governments are evil, we've established a little bit of a plumb line about what's tolerable. The Constitution talks about when sufferings are sufferable, we need to suffer them. That's another thing. But what we're talking about now is we're talking about grassroots, somebody you know who's getting in your face at work, in your family or whatever. Your contention needs to be whether, you know, I just love Jesus. You don't want to get them in a full Nelson and say, "Repent!" You know, none of that. None of that. You don't do it that way. You know, that ain't going to work. You know, the Crusades, they didn't work. That wasn't even of the variety of biblical Christianity. That was another thing altogether, but they like to foist that on us. No, we're of a different spirit. But you do have the right to get a sword, Jesus said. Just let me give that to you, because the Bible says, I told you to put away a cloak and a coat and a coin. And he says, put all that away. He said, but now I said, take an extra coat and get a sword. And my point is this, is that we have to be a more discerning kind of people. There's a time of war and a time of peace, right? Time of love, time of faith. And we have to be all that because we got the whole book. We got the whole book. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. We see how he changed everything. But we also see other things. I can't give you all of the nuances of that balance right now. I wanted to just say this to you. Michael contended with the spirit that you and I are of. He didn't bring a railing accusation. He wasn't accusing. What he was doing was he was loving. He was loving by just saying, "Lord, this is not my fight." You know, the bigger fight is between the devil, the demons, and God, right? And the angels of God. That's the bigger fight. You and I are down here on grass, but what the battle is for is the souls of men. So if somebody's in your face, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So you don't go at them with an accusation. My only point is it's an example for us, right? So we see some contending going on. In verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Korah was a rebel, right? He said, "We need to have more authority. Moses, you take too much on yourself. God opened the earth with an earthquake." So rebellion was there. We know that Cain was a man who was envious of his brother, and he killed him because he was righteous and Cain was not. If you read it in the New Testament about what Cain did, he literally cut Abel's throat. As if an homage to what Abel had done to the animal that he sacrificed. A slitting of the throat. He slit his brother's throat, saying, "Yeah, you want slit throats? I'll give you slit throats." See my point? Evil hates good and light and darkness. The darkness can't overcome it. And what about Balaam? Balaam's error here was that he could manipulate God. Remember that? God said, "Don't go with these men." He went back. He said, "I can't go with you." They said, "But you'd be rich beyond your wildest dreams." "Can't go with you." Next day, he gets on his knees and says, "God, can I go with him? Can I go with him? I told you no. Told you no. I told you not to do that. Go ahead." Gave him what he wanted. Even the donkey that he was riding on crushed his foot when the angel of the Lord was there to smite him. You see, God does not cooperate with these things, but we continually push the envelope. And because of our generation, grace is becoming so blurred that people think it can become used as a cloak for lasciviousness. Because I believe I'm saved by grace through faith, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. Because there's the God factor. There's the God. He says that if you do not receive chastening, you're illegitimate. So we need to remember the God factor. We see not only was God involved in, you know, doing some judgment to these people, so he was earlier, the angels, the cities, and so forth, but we see Michael dealing with the devil. I want to jump you down a little bit. The Bible says of Enoch in verse 14, Enoch was another one who contended. He says he was the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these kind of people, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly of all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Do you see? It's important what we say. It's important what we do. It's important what we think. These were ungodly people. What is ungodly? I was telling my little grandson one day. He said what children say. You know, something foolish. You know, kids do that. They're seeing what you can get away with. You know, they're using some language that isn't, you know, adult language, but they're using, you know, stupid stuff. And I said, "Now, you don't want to be talking foolish. Don't be talking foolish." And then it occurred to me, he probably doesn't know what that even means. I said, "Do you know what foolish means?" He said, "No." I said, "It is to act as if you do not believe God is watching your every movement." Isn't that true? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And so what we have now is we have the foolish behavior, and that's what ungodliness is. It's acting as if there is no God. This is why it's weird to look. If they don't believe there's a God, why are they so mad at him, right? In the world of atheists and so forth. And what you have on the other side of the pond, as they call it, over in England in this, is they're trying to be all accommodating, and they're trying to say open the borders. They're trying to... How's that working out for you? How's that working out? But it's not working out, right? Because it doesn't make a lick of sense. God said there's evil in the world, and that ours is to have governments to execute vengeance of all the wickedness of the world. That's what governments are established for. Two reasons for government: to revenge and to reward. To revenge against people who kill somebody, you know, take the sword and kill somebody. They're supposed to take care of that. You're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to do that. Now, if they're getting you while you're standing there, you've got a gun, you go ahead and shoot them. You've got that right. Even the Bible talks about that self-defense thing. But then reward. This is something they don't do much. Rewarders of them that are good. Another sidebar. Don't want to get into that too far. Look what it says. It says Enoch wrote about these people. Enoch wrote about these people. We're contenders. These are contenders. He says they're ungodly. They're ungodly. They're ungodly. Have you called it ungodly lately? You know, this guy was 66 years old who shot up a congressman trying to kill 15. Our whole country would have been in a disarray. The animosity would have gone to a fever pitch. We would have been at a slow rolling boil right away. The whole Congress would have been in jeopardy, up for grabs. But what I'm saying is the guy was 66 years old. He knew better. And he knew what he was doing. And what he was doing, from our perspective, is he was doing that which was ungodly. Right? He didn't think about God. Do you know he was part of a group online that was called the Road to Hell is Paved with Republicans. So he already made up his mind. He was devoted to a party rather than to the person of Jesus. And now what he's going to lament for the rest of eternity is what he has clearly found out. That no, it's not paved with Republicans. The road to hell is paved with those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Isn't that true? Those are the people who go to hell. They won't receive him. And some people will do it like these guys do, in a way that's given to licentiousness, but and their condemnation is just, as he says. But we're looking here now at people who have contended. And one of them was Enoch. One of them was Michael. God himself, early on, would contend with the people and continue to knock them back a little bit and deal with the angels and deal with the cities. And now what we see is in verse 16, he says, they're murmurers, complainers, and so forth. Now look at this. Verse 17 says, "But, beloved, remember you the words of the prophets and the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ." It says, how they told you that in the last day mockers would come, walking after their ungodly lust. See, that word ungodly keeps coming up. People who live in an ungodly fashion become literally enemies of the state. And when I say state, I don't mean this state. I mean the kingdom of God. Don't we pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.